From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. With the midterm elections approaching on November 4th, candidates only have a few more weeks of campaigning ahead of them. In the state's 94th Assembly District, Democrat incumbent Steve Doyle is being challenged by Republican Tracy Happel. Both candidates live in Onalaska and, if elected, would represent La Crosse County residents in Bangor, West Salem, Shelby, and Holman. The candidates are here today to talk about some of the issues in the race. They each have a minute and a half to answer the question. Tracy, I know we left you on the rebuttal, so I guess we'll just start with you.
Sure.
On the first question. Let's dive into education. One of the things, especially when it comes to K-12 education, that I hear from administrators throughout Southwest Wisconsin is that the state really needs to address the school funding formula. Is this an issue that you see as needed and important in the 94th district? And if so, how would you approach this topic?
Right. Being in the public schools, especially in this district, it's something that I'm, aware of as a teacher. The school funding affects my classroom every day. It's something we need to look at. It's something we need to consider. We need to get all the parties involved and consider what we need to do. I don't know all the details. I'm not an accounting person, but I look forward to learning about it and doing what's best for our schools and for the kids in our schools.
Steve Doyle, school funding formula?
The state funding formula is a really complicated approach to funding our schools, and it's really, I would say, an anachronism at this point. Right now, the way that it essentially plays out across the state is that areas in suburban Milwaukee do very well under that formula. Areas around the rest of the state, including La Crosse area, do not do very well. It just isn't fair to look at things that really shouldn't be a factor. What we really should look at is how many kids are in the school, what is the school's ability to self-fund, because you have property-wealthy communities and you have property-poor communities, and so you have to take that in as a factor, and how do we get kids really on the same page? And that really isn't the case right now, but unfortunately, that is such a political issue, because if we were to make that more fair for Western Wisconsin, you know, people screaming over in Southeast Wisconsin. So again, it's one of those issues where the two parties have to sit down together and say, you know, Democrats, some of your people are doing well and other people aren't doing well. Republicans, same with you folks. Can we try to do something that both parties can live with to tweak that formula so that we do recognize the current reality of our school district needs throughout the state?
What are some other K-12 education issues that are on the forefront of your mind?
Well, clearly the biggest issue that we're hearing talked about these days are two things, vouchers and Common Core. With regard to vouchers, I went to Aquinas High School. My kids went to Aquinas High School. Actually, my parents went to Aquinas. I very much believe in the right to have people send their kids to whatever school they choose to. What I don't believe in is the obligation of people who choose not to go to the private school to pay for those private schools. I actually worked all the way through high school from age 14 to 18 every day after school and every weekend to pay my own tuition at Aquinas, and I didn't see anything wrong with that. I do have a concern when you have, let's say, a couple on a fixed income that don't have kids in school, don't even have grandkids in school maybe, being told that not only do you have to pay for your own school district, but now you have to pay for private schools too. It's no different than, there's a company, Ed O'Brien, a gentleman I know from Holman, who has a security company that does private security for Oktoberfest and things like that. What if I said, if I ever need a police officer, I want to call Ed's company, so I don't have to pay taxes for the police department. I'll use my neighbor's hose if I have a fire, so I don't want to pay for the fire department. I mean, our structure would collapse if everybody opted out of all of those things, and I don't think education is any different. If you want to send your kids to a private school, that should be your right, but I don't think other people should be required to pay for that.
And Tracy Happel, other major K-12 issues that are on the forefront of your mind?
No, as an educator, vouchers and Common Core. I would flip those. Common Core and then vouchers are on the forefront of my mind. I think the big misconception with vouchers is that it's an extra tax burden, and it's not. It's actually taking money that's already taxpayers' money and giving them a portion of it back and moving that toward whatever school that they want to go to. Parents are children's first educators, teachers, and they know their kid best. They should be able to choose the school that they go to with the money that they're already paying in taxes toward public schools. Public schools are never going to go away. We will always need public schools. So vouchers, you know, they can benefit everybody, the entire community, the schools, and the families. Common Core, on the other hand, is a federal mandate. It's unconstitutional. End of story. It's not okay. The communities know schools best, know their students best, what their students need for the community, for the area. Common Core takes away the autonomy from teachers and classrooms. It provides children with a source of frustration, and it's so complicated, it's so intricate, and it is a detriment to our schools.
So you both mentioned Common Core, and I'm maybe wondering if we should expand on it a little more. You know, Tracy, you said that you're not a fan of Common Core. Mm-hmm. So what can the state do? What do you hope the state does mm-hmm. to address the issue?
Mm-hmm. First of all, what I hope, Governor Walker offered up a challenge to the legislature in the January session. Take a look at Common Core. Is this something we really need as a state, or can we do better? As an educator, as a mom, we can do better. We used to have something called the Wisconsin Academic Model Standards. Those were pretty good standards. We were doing really well under those standards. Wisconsin has one of the best public education systems in the country. People love it here. It's hard to find a job here because there's such excellent teachers here. I lost my train of thought.
It's okay.
With Common Core, however, oh my gosh, what was I just saying?
That's okay. If you need to take a minute to collect yourself.
I got off on this tangent. With Common Core, we Wisconsin Model Academic Standards. That's correct. I'm sorry. So we have these standards that we used to operate under, and they were doing really well. We also have standards from Minnesota that we could look at. We have standards from Massachusetts we could look at. We have standards from California we could look at that are highly successful, and the schools are doing wonderful under them. We don't need the federal government to tell us what to do. We need local schools, local community members, local educators telling us what is best for our kids.
And Steve Doyle, how would you like to see the state of Wisconsin address the Common Core issue?
Well, I disagree that Common Core is a federal mandate, because if it was a federal mandate, you couldn't get out of it. And some states have talked about getting out of it, and some states have gotten out of it. What it is a state initiative that came about through both governors and school superintendents throughout the country that has been supported by the federal government, both financially and simply saying we think it's a good idea. The first thing that we need to do, though, is get politicians out of education. I mean, that is, I think, the biggest problem right now, turning education into a partisan issue. It's a huge mistake that both parties are doing, turning that into a partisan issue. I have talked to every school administrator in the 94th District. I have talked to most of the school board members in the 94th District and many teachers in the 94th District. And almost unanimously, I'm hearing people say, keep your hands off of this Common Core stuff. In La Crosse, for example, they have spent between $1 million and $1.5 million already trying to get ready for Common Core, and it's already being implemented. Other school districts in the 94th have spent, you know, equivalent amounts of money depending upon their school district size. Give our local school boards the ability to make the decisions that they need to. Don't say we have to get out of Common Core even if we don't want to, and I'm saying that at the school district level. If La Crosse wants to be in Common Core, let them. We should not have the state legislature stick its nose in and say we must have Common Core or we must not have Common Core. That's the first thing that we've got to do.
Let's dive into a couple local issues that are really unique to the 94th District, one of them being the Badger-Cooley Transmission Line Project. Mm-hmm. This has been proposed by American Transmission Company and Xcel Energy and would create 345 kilovolt power lines traveling from the La Crosse area to the Madison area. If the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin approves the project, it could take one of two routes. One would go through Onalaska. What are your thoughts on the project or the routes? And although this is a PSC, it's their ultimate decision, what can you do as a legislator? Steve Doyle?
Unfortunately, what they have presented us with is a lose-lose proposition. So do we run it through Onalaska or do we run it through Holman? I mean, which group of people loses in that regard? And that just is not fair. I had great concerns when CapEx came into the state, and this picks up where CapEx left off. I had great concerns bringing it into the state and bringing it down into the Holman area in the first place because we knew it was going to go somewhere from there and that it was going to cause a lot of problems because both routes that they are currently looking at go past schools, they go past business areas, they go past homes. The one through Onalaska would affect the property that Mayo Health Facility just bought. There are a lot of reasons for opposing both. The problem is that the way that the law currently reads, it almost doesn't matter what local officials have to say and even what local people have to say. I've encouraged folks to write to the Public Service Commission. I hope that the members of the PSC listen and read those things. I quite honestly don't know that they really do, and that's really unfortunate. So the first thing I would say with regard to that issue is we need to change the law to have greater local input of what happens. If it's going to run through our communities, we should have some say over that.
Tracy Happel, your thoughts on the Badger Cooley line?
Right. When I've been out meeting people and talking with people at their homes and in small businesses, this is a huge concern for everybody in the district. I hear it over and over and over, and I hear relentlessly that people don't want it. But unfortunately, it's not a choice. It's not do we want it or not want it. It's where do you want it, Holman or Onalaska? We have to pick the lesser of two evils. Unfortunately, again, we have to look at what the people want. What's best for them. We have to listen to them. We have to talk to them. Work with the power line company and really think about our region and how it's going to affect us.
So there, another 94th District issue. There are talks that funding for the North-South corridor running through the city of La Crosse up to Onalaska and beyond, that funding could be yanked by the State Department of Transportation. And historically, people living within the northern part of the 94th District have supported this project, but haven't really had much of a say in its future. So what's your position on the funding of the corridor? Should residents have a say? And as a legislator, could you weigh in on what's going on with this project? Tracy Happel?
Yes, I believe in local control of government. I do believe that people should have a say on the funding and where it comes from and who's going to pay for that. But again, I think it goes into a broader issue of the economy. I mean, if we want to continue that ease of traffic flow and back and forth to reach the businesses and services on the south side and the south side coming up to the north side to reach our business services and keeping those two economies running smoothly together, it's something we have to consider. We have to ask the people what they think, not only the residents, but the businesses as well. How is this impacting you? How will it impact you? As a legislator, I do believe in, again, listening to the people within the district and seeing what they have to say and bringing it back to Madison and saying, this is what I'm hearing. This is what we need to do.
And Steve Doyle, North-South Corridor.
This is an issue that's been around for a long, long time and that I first dealt with even before I became chair on the county board. We were talking about this issue, and there is a lot of money sitting in that account right now, hundreds of millions of dollars, that if we don't figure out at least some sort of tentative way forward, that money is going to go probably to southeast Wisconsin. I mean, that money is going to get spent in the Milwaukee area like the rest of the transportation fund predominantly seems to be doing these days. What we really need to do is to sit down with the Department of Transportation, and I know our local governments are doing that, and as a current member of the county board, I've been involved in some of that myself, where we need to sit down with them and look at the parameters of what those funds can be used for. We can't say, for example, well, we're going to use it just to do mass transit. We can't say we're going to use it to do a route on the other side of the bluff through Madarie and Barrie. We have to look at the specific language of that funding that is there right now and determine what we can do to preserve it so that we can hopefully in the next legislative session change that law just a little bit to say the La Crosse area has the ability to not just use it for that specific north-south corridor purpose as it was defined 20-some years ago, but we also can use it for slightly different purposes. In other words, open up the book for the options that we have to present to the people in La Crosse area for what's going to work best for us. Right now, it doesn't work that way. We need to make a change in the law before we lose that money.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, a forum with the candidates for the 94th Assembly District, Democratic incumbent Representative Steve Doyle and his Republican challenger, Tracy Happel. Both are of Onalaska, and they'll face off in the November 4th election. The implementation of Wisconsin's voter ID law has been put on hold and will not impact the November election, but it hasn't been ruled out for future elections and could be in play this next year. What are your thoughts on the voter ID law, and how might it affect residents in the 94th district? Steve Doyle?
I think that the voter ID law was a very unfortunate thing that our state and many states around the country have done. For generations, we have done everything that we can to make it easier for people to vote. We went from having only white, wealthy landowners being able to vote to minorities being able to vote, women being able to vote, people between 18 and 21 being able to vote, making it easier to do voting by absentee or early voting and so forth. And now suddenly, within the last couple of years, we've heard this, kind of this drumbeat of, we have to deal with this fraud. There has not been any evidence of any significant fraud that would be cured by voter ID. I mean, if people are going to vote twice, there's going to be ways that they would do it without having an ID. I mean, if they want to impersonate somebody else or if they want to vote in two states or whatever the case may be. But there simply have been no evidences of that thing happening. And instead, what we're doing is we're saying in particular two groups of people, poor people and older people, are essentially being disenfranchised, and that just isn't fair. We are also telling our local clerks that you cannot be open more than so many hours per week to allow people to vote. I mean, if Marilyn Pedretti in the town of Holland wants to allow somebody to vote at 8 o'clock at night, she's willing to come in to open up the town hall to let them do that, she should be able to do that. But the law now says, nope, you can't do that. We should not be making it more difficult for people to vote. We should be making it easier for people to vote.
And Tracy Happel, voter ID?
Right. Voter ID is voting in our country is just the epitome act of patriotism, of voting, the democratic process. It's what makes America America. We get to choose our officials. What's nice is the community services have come forward and said, we want to help people with this process. We want to help them to be able to vote. So we're going to provide transportation. We're going to dig through records to find any birth certificates that need to come up. We're going to help people get out of their house. We're going to fill out absentee ballots. We're going to do all of this stuff for them. It's wonderful for people who need any sort of assistance whatsoever. We need IDs to do everything, to check your phone records, to, at the cell phone store, to rent a movie, you need an ID, all kinds of things. Constitutionally, you need an ID to buy a gun or to have conceal and carry license. Having an ID to vote is just constitutional. It's a way to protect our freedoms as an American.
So the issue of plagiarism has come up a couple times throughout this election season. First, we heard that gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke's job plan contained passages from other candidates. And then, Tracy, I know there was a report that on your website there were passages from an Iowa candidate's website. And I'm wondering if you can address that. But, let's just talk about the bigger picture of this issue. Just the issue of candidates borrowing ideas from each other, using consultants, et cetera, versus the idea of creating original thoughts and ideas to supplement one's own campaign promises. Tracy, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. So, the conservative values are pretty much the same across the board. I think same with the Democrat values, what they believe in. What we believe in is what we believe in. And you're going to get a lot of the same phrases and a lot of the same ideals and beliefs. And we believe we're powerful in what we believe in. We're strong in what we believe in. And we reiterate it and we use it, we say it, we live it and we breathe it.
Steve Doyle, thoughts on plagiarism?
I think plagiarism was not a legitimate issue when it came to Mary Burke, and I think plagiarism is not a legitimate issue when it comes to Tracy Hopple. I mean, I just don't. I hate to say this, but politicians don't have original ideas. I mean, we borrow from other people. You know, Scott Walker's jobs plan is no different than jobs plans of many other people running for governor on the Republican ticket in other states. So what? Take the best ideas from wherever you find them and try to use them. So, you know, I knew about that. People sent me the Journal Sentinel story, you know, within an hour after it ran, and I said, we're not going anywhere on this. This is just a dumb issue. You know, Ms. Hopple is running for the first time. She got on the ballot kind of late, and I'm sure she had to scramble and come up with, you know, what can I put on my website? Oh, here's a person I agree with their positions. Let's just borrow that stuff. I don't have a problem with that. That's just fine for her to do. What is more important is knowing what we stand for, not whose words we use to, you know, to express that. You know, she chose a person who, you know, Joni Ernst from Iowa, who is endorsed by Tea Party Express. You know, if that is, you know, who she looks to for guidance, that certainly is not who I would look to for guidance. I try to look around and find the best and brightest ideas from around the country from moderate people in both parties. And I think that's what people should look at is, where do you get your inspiration, not what words you use?
So we're running short on time. Steve Doyle, I'm wondering if you can, if you have about 30 seconds just to wrap up final thoughts on this upcoming election.
You know, I think that this is a really critical choice that people have here. I mean, quite honestly, what we're really lacking in Madison are people in the middle. There's an organization called the Sunlight Foundation that is a nonpartisan organization looking at bipartisanship across the country. They looked at Wisconsin. They said in Wisconsin, in the state legislature, Steve Doyle is the third most moderate Democrat in the state legislature. There's nobody that really is exactly in the middle or crosses over to the other side, but they said, I'm right in the very close to the middle. I think that's what we need in Wisconsin, is people in the middle, because that's what politics is all about.
And Tracy Hopple, 30 seconds, final thoughts on this race?
Sure. You know, I'm really excited. You look, it's interesting. You look back on your life story and you think, how did I get to where I am today? And, you know, God has let me down this incredible path from beginning to be a teacher and a mom and a wife. And here I am running for public office. You know, I look back on all of the things that have led me to here, my Senate hearings that I've done in Minnesota and Wisconsin, being on a bipartisan national education board, and now suddenly running for public office and representing people, working with all kinds of people, diversity issues, everything. I'm just thrilled that I can have this opportunity.
Tracy Hopple is a Republican running for the 94th State Assembly District seat. She's challenging Democratic incumbent Representative Steve Doyle. Both are from Onalaska, and they'll face off in the November 4th election. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find links to Doyle's and Hopple's websites, as well as Wisconsin Vote website. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.